Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Good to see you guys here. How about this Super Bowl Sunday today? Any of you Super Bowl fans in here? Really? I mean, how can anybody be a fan with those two teams playing, right? Yeah. So I'm sorry if you're from Atlanta, and I'm really sorry if you're from Boston. Yeah. But, you know, I'm from Tennessee, but I got here as fast as I could. I love Dallas. Don't you love Dallas? Before we get started today, I'm starting a series this morning entitled Finding Your Element. I'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes, but I have a very dear and special friend here from Jerusalem, Ronnie Cohen. He and I have known each other now over 20 years, and each time I've gone back, taken many trips to Israel, each time Ronnie and I have teamed up, he's been our tour guide and someone who's really helped us not only get around the country, but really helped us deepen our walk with the Lord. And so Ronnie's here today, and I want him to come up and say hello. He's not new. He's an old friend of our church. He's the godfather of my second oldest granddaughter, Sadie Bray. And so I want you to give a warm Dallas welcome to Ronnie Cohen. Come on up here, Ronnie. See you, baby.
I feel at home here. I've been to Dallas many times. I know Joe and Nancy over 20 years, 23 years or so. I remember when all the children were like real small before they got married. And, you know, their children are married. He's also a grandfather. My children are married. I'm also a grandfather. But our relationship is not, you know, pastor and tour guide. I mean, like, we're totally personal friends. I mean, one of the main reasons I'm in Dallas right now is not because, you know, I'm going to speak at some places, but because I always try to make it a yearly thing to see the Super Bowl over your house. And, you know, I feel really bad about Dallas, and of course, because they lost twice in the regular season to the Giants from New York. But I definitely don't want to see New England win the Super Bowl, okay? I mean, maybe the earth will open up or something. I don't know. We could pray. See, I don't really care who plays New England, as long as they lose. Anyway, so let's get back to, I don't feel like I'm a guest here. I feel like I'm at home here in Dallas. And it's true, you know, our relationship goes back to a point when he was bringing tourists to Israel. I'm not here promoting a tour, but I know for sure that many people here at some point in their lives are going to make it over to Israel. I want you to, you know what, people show up and they say to me, you think it's safe? I said, listen. Because we heard so much about terrorism, but it ain't happening in Israel. What about that knifing? I said, get on a blog to the South Bronx, what happened last night, and it's more dangerous in the Bronx than it is in Jerusalem. You know, yeah, but sure. You know, but Israel is like an island of tranquility in a sea of madness. We don't have ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all that stuff there. All that stuff is on the other side of the border. I mean, Israel takes care of its own. You know, we have a very important policy. You get close to our border, we shoot you. But it's quite safe. And I know that, you know, probably one of your bucket promises, and I'm going to say this again because, you know, everyone says you should live your life as though it's the last day. Well, one of those days is going to be your last day. You know that. And, you know, you're going to sit down and reflect and think about all the things you did in your life and all the things that you didn't do. And one of the things that you didn't do, perhaps, was like going to see the Holy Land, to see his home. So you got to go. I mean, it's a matter of when you're going to go, but you're all going to go there at some point. Because it's not enough really to read the scripture. But you got to get a visual because you're basically reading words on paper. Of course, it's God's word. But once you go on a trip to Israel, you've fulfilled something. You're reading something now that's three-dimensional. This book is now going to be different. Every time you read about the Mount of Beatitudes, oh, wow, I stood there. I know exactly what it looked like. I was baptized in the Jordan River. You know, some people being baptized today, that's great. You know, I had to go someplace that's close by, you know, like the Jordan. it's an experience that one day you guys are going to do. But, you know, thanks again for having me come up here and speak a few minutes.
We love you, Ronnie. Okay. Come on, give him a big hand. We're so glad he's here.
And let's pray a little bit for Atlanta.
Yeah, pray for Atlanta. Yeah, Our philosophy is A-B-N-E, anybody but New England. All right. Are you glad you came today? Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to get in the Word now. Yeah, I want to show you a little video this morning. I want to, first, as we tee it up, I want to just say this, that number one, it was made in Germany. So the people are actually speaking German, but there are English subtitles in it, okay? It only lasts 30 seconds, so make sure you're really paying attention from the beginning. This is a father and his adult daughter, kind of like me and Landon in the kitchen. And so his father and adult daughter are preparing a meal together. And I want you to pay attention to what's happening. Now, it's in German, but they're English subtitles, so pay close attention.
Sag mal, Papa, habe ich dich noch gar nicht gefragt. Wie kommst du eigentlich mit dem neuen iPad zurecht, was wir dir zum Geburtstag geschenkt haben?
Gut.
Mit den ganzen Apps kommst du klar?
Was denn für Apps? Geh mal bitte nicht zur Seite.
All right, you did good on that. You really paid attention. You know, an iPad will work as a cutting board, but its purpose is not to be used as a cutting board. It has another purpose, a higher purpose. And that's what I want to say to you today. You can be used for a lot of things, but you have a higher purpose. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about that higher purpose. I'm going to ask a question. Just begin with a simple question today. When are you most like Jesus? When are you most like Jesus? Think about, somebody said this morning, when I'm asleep. Think about your life. Think about the people that you're around all the time. Think about the job that you have. Think about the activities that you do. When are you most like Jesus? When are you most like Jesus? Now, you may not be able to answer that question fully. The disciples couldn't answer it either. There's several places in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where the disciples broke out into a dispute. I mean, here they were walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, watching Jesus do ministry. They were taking part and participating in ministry. And every once in a while, they would look at each other and say, I think I'm the greatest. And they would say, no, you're not the greatest, I'm the greatest. A dispute would arise among them as to who would be the greatest. At one point, a mom got involved. Yeah, the mom of the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And so she came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want you to do us a favor. And Jesus said, what? And he said, I want you to allow my sons, one to sit on your right and one to sit on your left in glory. He said, woman, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And they applied affirmatively. Yes, we can. Not knowing what that cup was, we can do it. We're tough. We're good guys. He said, well, you may be able to drink the cup that I have to drink from and be baptized with the baptism I want to go through. But to sit on my right and sit on my left is not my decision. It's my Father who's in heaven. Now, let's pick up the story right there. This is in Mark chapter 10, verse 41. And when the 10 heard it, now remember, there's 12 of them together, two of them. Now, James and John want to sit on the right and left. They want to know who the greatest was. And so when the other 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. That's a greatly displeased is a translation of they were really upset, right, with James and John. Verse 42, but Jesus called them to himself. This is a wonderful spot. When you're reading through the Gospels, you'll find this phrase over and over and over again. Jesus called them to himself. Jesus' desire is for us to have a close, intimate, personal relationship with him. And so in moments like these where there's dispute, where there's worry, where there's care, where there's anger, bitterness, upset, what does Jesus do? Call them to himself. So he called them to himself. He said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Everybody say servant.
Servant.
And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. Now, the Greek doesn't make any ambiguity about that. I mean, it's a straight up slave, someone sold into servitude. And so Jesus said, watch this now. If you want to be great, you've got to become a servant. And if you want to be first, you got to become a slave. Verse 45, and Jesus puts the frosting on the cake here. He says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And when the Bible says, and Jesus particularly says to us, follow me, he's not just saying just walk in my footsteps, although that's what would be awesome. We could just do that. Go to Israel and walk in his footsteps. One of the great things about being in Israel is that you can walk along the same path. You can walk along the same places that Jesus himself walked in. And so that's great. But when he said, follow me, what he was saying is follow my manner of living. Watch the way I live and do that. Watch the way I share and do that. Watch the way I speak and do that. Watch the way I give and do that. Watch the way I spend my free time, my spare time, my all the time. Watch that and do that. Follow me in my manner of living, in the way that I do life. And so Jesus said the way that he did life was not to be served by others. He's the king of the universe. He's the king of the universe. He's the creator of everything that's ever been created. But he did not come to be served, but to serve. Now watch this. And give away his life as a ransom. Over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be sharing with you, and we're going to be sharing with you what the Bible has to say about service. The Bible has to say about having a heart of service. The Bible has to say about being equipped to serve. The Bible has to say about the benefits of our service. And I want to just start here today, really helping you understand that really finding your element is the objective and the goal here. And today I want to just share one little brief thought with you, and that is this, is that you and me, if we've been born again by the Spirit of God, we were saved in order to serve. We're saved in order to serve. There's something about serving, something about serving others, about humbling ourselves, about helping others, about serving others, that creates in us a heart like Jesus, that gives us an opportunity to be more like him. Nancy reminded me a few minutes ago, and just a reminder to all of us, that serving is a privilege. It's a real privilege in the kingdom. And I know most of us are pretty exhausted with having another duty to do. It's your duty to serve. It's your duty to give. It's your duty to do something spiritual. I want to do away with all that. Your duty is one thing and one thing only. That's to love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's your duty. Everything after that's a privilege. Everything after that should be a joy in our life. So we have to reorient our mind, begin to live from the kingdom to earth rather than from earth to the kingdom. Begin to really begin to see things like God sees things, walk in his economy, and do those things that he does, his manner of living, to follow in that, and be a part of us. All of us, and I think I can say that pretty confidently, everyone in this room, we all want to live a happy life. Who wants to get up in the morning and say, I want to be miserable today? I love being miserable. You know, I'm just going to be miserable. I don't want to be depressed. I want to be upset. I want to be everybody mad at me. I love that. You think, well, that's sort of the job description for my job. But but all of us want to be and want to live a successful, a satisfying, and a happy life. Jesus describes this as an abundant life. He describes it as an abundant life. And we want to apprehend the joy of an abundant life, not a duty. And again, that joy comes as a result of really being a privilege for us to walk in that. In John chapter 10, verse 10 in the New Living Translation, the Bible says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. The enemy is not did not wake up this morning confused about what his purpose was. His purpose is to steal from you, to kill your joy, to kill your happiness, and to destroy all your relationships, to destroy your work, to destroy you. I mean, that's his job description. That's what he does. And he's not confused about that. That's his purpose. But Jesus said his purpose was to give us a rich and a satisfying life. The Bible says that God has done everything, everything for us that pertains to life and godliness. We have it already won the victory. We just have to walk in it. We have to learn the way and the manner of walking, the manner of living. And serving is at the top of the list. It's at the top of the list. So if we want to live an enjoyable, fun, exciting, happy, satisfying lifestyle, we got to learn to do it from the kingdom perspective to the earth, not the other way around. We got to learn how to do it like Jesus did it. Do it like Jesus did it. He says his purpose was to give us a rich and satisfying life. The Message Bible puts it this way. Jesus said, I came so that they could have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That's what God wants for you. More out of your life than you've ever dreamed of. More out of your life than you could ever hope for. Ronnie was talking about just having a bucket list of going to Israel one day. How many of you have never been before? Great. Look at that. Now put your hands down. How many would love to go? Put that on your bucket list. Yeah, isn't that awesome? How'd you like to go next spring? Maybe together next spring we could work it out and go together. Just a few of them. But let me tell you something. To move it from you want to go to going, you just have to jump over all the excuses why you can't. Right? It's the same way with the abundant life. You have to jump over the excuses of why you can't live an abundant life. It's the same way with service. You have to jump over the excuses of why you can't serve. Just jump over them. Okay? If you never jump over the excuses will always win, and one day you will wake up wishing that you had had a more fulfilling life. Yeah. I'd say, look, 2017 is the year to believe. Yeah. It's the year to go for it. It's the year to live. I mean, to really live. Get out there on the limb, take 4 or 5 chainsaws with you, and cut it off and fall. See what happens. See what happens. I mean, it's going to be awesome. An awesome time for us. You know, if you want to live that kind of life that Jesus died to give us, that, what do you say, a more and better life than you've ever dreamed of, the world says that you have to be smarter than everybody else. But God says you've already got the mind of Christ. You don't get much smarter than that. The world says that you have to know more. Yeah, you got to know more if you're going. Knowledge is king. We live in the information age. Knowledge is king. The more you know, the more prosperous, the happier, the more satisfied you can be. The Bible says it's revelation from God that changes the world. The world says you got to be faster than everyone. The Bible says the race is not always to the swift. The world says you got to be stronger than everyone. The Bible says that when you are weak, Jesus is strong through you. The world says you got to have the right pedigree. Yeah, right? You got to have the right father, right grandfather, right family. Okay? But God says that you are a child of the King. The King of the universe has adopted you, brought you into his family, and made you a full heir to everything that he has. You don't get a pedigree better than that. So stop blaming the fact that you didn't grow up to the right family, that you weren't trained in the right way, that you didn't go to the right school. The world says you have to belong, you know, the right school. If you're really going to be somebody, you got to go to the Ivy League, you know. You got to get a master's from Harvard or a master's from Wharton, or you go out to California and get a master's out there. No, 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 no. Here's what the Bible says, that the fear of the Lord teaches you wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord. The world says that if you want to be great, you want to have an abundant life, if you want to have a life that's the life that you dreamed of, then you got to climb the ladder and you got to race the rats. How many of you feel like you race the rats every week? Right? The rat race, right? The Lord says, whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Mark 9:35. And so this is really what we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks. And every week, I'm going to do an interview with someone, either at the beginning or the end, today or at the end, someone who serves here in the church. But I want you to understand there's several parallel ideas here. We're not just trying to fill up all the service obligations that we have in the church. I don't want you to think that. Some of you will recognize that you want to become a servant somewhere here. that you want to belong, be serving somewhere here. Because you realize that you're tired of living a lonely life and you want to get to know other people. You want to be integrated into a family and become part of something bigger than you are. So we're going to talk about serving, but everything that we say really applies to your life. Because what we want to have is not just service in different areas of our life, but what we want to have is a heart of service in everything that we do. So whether it's your spouse if you're married, your kids if you have a family, your church that you belong to, the community that you live in, your career, all those places, we need to learn how to serve. How to serve. How to have a heart of service. Because something powerful happens when we serve. Every week I'm going to be talking about somebody different. This week, and look, it's hard to capsulize everything about Joseph. You remember Joseph in the book of Genesis was sold into slavery by his brothers. And they were upset with him because he had favor with his father. And so they faked his death out in the desert. And a Midianite caravan was heading down to Egypt. And so rather than kill him, they decided to sell him to the Midianites. And the Midianites bought Joseph. They took him down to Egypt. And they put him on the auction block and sold him as a slave in Egypt. And the person that bought him was a man named Potiphar, a man named Potiphar. And so Potiphar recognized something different about Joseph from the get-go. So let's pick up the story in Genesis chapter 39, beginning in verse 3. And Potiphar, that's his master, saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord made all that Joseph did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Everyone say served. Served. Served him, right? Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it's a powerful scripture because here you see somebody that is a nobody, a lowest person in the city. Someone who has been brought in and sold like chattel, like a livestock to someone. But yet, even in these desperate circumstances, the master saw that there was something different about him. The master saw that God was with him. The Bible says, before this, that he was a successful man because God was with him. Before he ever did anything, he was a success. Why was he a success? Not because he was so gifted or had such a wonderful personality or came from such a great pedigree or went to such a wonderful school. None of that. Why was he a success? Because God's hand was on him. And how did that get translated so others could see it? They could see it through his service. That everything that he put his hands to prospered. That he had a good spirit about serving and a good heart about it. And that in having that spirit and that heart, he found favor. I want you to find favor where you work. I want you to find favor where you live. Yes. I want you to find favor in your neighborhood with your neighbors and your friends. There are people in this room that should be running for office one of these days. You need favor of God on your life. There are people in this room that need to be involved in a great way in the schools to help guide the schools through the PTA to care about those kids and preach and teach to them the love of Christ. There's some of you in this room that have that ability, but you're not going to find those places of service until you begin to serve, until you begin to serve. And so our heart and our objective in this series is we want you to find your element. Find that place where you can serve. Find that place where you can give of your time, of your effort. Find that place where you can begin to feel and sense the favor of God coming upon you. We want you to find your element because you and me, when we came to Christ, we were saved in order to serve. We were saved in order to serve. It is the highest calling that we have as Christians, is to serve. And so my heartbeat is this morning is to really plant that seed in your heart. That over the next 3 weeks, this week plus three more, next 4 weeks total, that we're going to be talking about serving. And so I'm going to put that seed in there today, begin to water it. We're going to have people come who serve here in this church that you may not know, that we want you to get to know, that you can hear how they got involved in service, what they did, and how it benefited them, how it ministered to them, how it was for them. Years ago, Dan Weir, the founder of Weir's Furniture up here on Knox Street, told me that we were talking about service in a particular service, and he came up after the service, and he said, you know, one of the greatest things I have ever heard about service, he said, I heard from Mr. John Nordstrom, the founder of Nordstrom's department store. John Nordstrom, at the time that Dan met him, was way up in his 80s, maybe his early 90s. And so he asked Mr. Nordstrom at a meeting they were at up in Seattle. Now, you have to understand that Nordstrom's went from a small shoe store after the turn of the century to a $9 billion business today. And so Dan says, Mr. Nordstrom, what was the secret of your success? And Mr. Nordstrom answered without even pausing. He said, you know, I started this business at the feet of my customers, and I just decided to stay there. That's the secret of my success. To even today, that $9 billion company is known for its unbelievable customer service. Landon bought me a pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses for my birthday one year. Bought them there, and the little receipt just kept down in the little Ray-Ban thing it comes in. And I dropped them and scratched them. I dropped the sunglasses, I scratched them. So one day I was going to go to the mall for something else. I thought, I'll just take these by so I can find a pair that look like, because I like the way they look. And so I took them in there, and I was standing in Nordstrom's at the rack where all the Ray-Bans were. And I opened them up, and I was looking, and the salesman came up to me and said, hey, can I help you? I said, you know, I dropped these glasses and scratched them, and I just wanted to get another pair that looked like them. And so we looked for a few minutes. He found the pair, and he said, are these the ones you want? I said, yes, sir. He took out his little polishing cloth. He polished them. He went around the desk. He got another little box for him. He asked me, he said, do you have the receipt for those? I said, no, sir. I lost that a year. I've had them for a year. I lost it over a year ago. He said, no problem. Give them to me. And he handed me the new ones. I said, how much do I owe you? He said, no, they're on us. I said, well, there's nothing. I mean, I scratched them. He said, Mr. Martin, we appreciate your business. Thank you for being here. Guess what? I'm going to go back there. Right? I'm going to go back there. I mean, the $200 pair of sunglasses. Yes, sir. I'm going to go back there. And so, listen. If a secular business can do that and be successful, how much more can a child of God do it and find favor on their lives, right? And find favor upon their lives. And so we want to inspire you to really to develop a heart of service. We want to help you to walk in the benefits of godly, joyful serving. And we want to help you find your service sweet spot. We're going to talk about that. But everybody has a sweet spot for their service. And we're going to visit about that. I want to introduce you to James and Macy Hollis. And James and Macy were here the first service, and we interviewed them and talked to them a little bit about their place of service here. In the next few minutes, they're going to be talking to us and telling us about what their experience was serving and what it has been here serving. But I just want to let you know there's seven areas in the church, and we won't cover all of them every week, but seven areas: first impressions, kids and children, worship, media, our junior high and high school students, our small groups, our outreach ministry. There's lots of different places to serve and to be involved. And so each week we'll bring you somebody sharing from one of those areas. And so this week we're going to be talking about the Children's Church. And so I want to introduce you guys to James and Macy Hollis. Give them a big hand. Well, you guys are pros at this. You did this first service, so.
A lot more faces this time.
Yeah. So why don't we just start out by letting people get to know you guys and a little bit about where you're from, how you met, your family, all that stuff.
Thanks, Joe. I'm James. This is Macy. We've been married coming up on 6 years. Our anniversary is in April. We live in Arlington. Currently, we met in Arlington. Whole other church when we were living in Arlington, still young in our lives. We were Interning.
Still young.
We're still young now, but we were younger. But we were interning with some high school ministry, and we had one of those, you know, kickoff summer events, and we sort of found each other. But long story there. We were serving then. Now we're married. We have two kids. We have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And we've been members of Trinity here for a couple years.
Okay, let's stop right there. Y'all didn't know each other prior to serving at the church together. Is that true? Yeah. You didn't know him.
No.
You didn't know her. Never seen her before. You never seen him before. Right?
That's right.
All right. And so y'all met serving in a church, right? I just want to make sure y'all are getting this. Right? You met serving in a church. And now you look back 8-10 years later, and now you got two kids. So when you see those children, do you recognize that that's the result of you serving in a church?
That was a really special time, you know, for us.
Yeah.
Definitely. God brought us together through that
now,
element.
Yeah. If that's not a reason for all you single people to sign up right there, we just stopped the interview right there. And so that's pretty awesome. So tell me about, you know, how and when you guys came to Trinity.
We started coming maybe 4 years ago. My mom comes here. Shout out. we just started coming, and we were not really involved, and we just didn't feel like we were connected, and we just kind of kept church hopping, and then we kept comparing it to Trinity, and we finally were like, we're just going to go and put all of ourselves into this and see what happens. So,
well, it was a pretty big deal because y'all live, what, 30 minutes away?
Yeah.
And that's on Sunday morning, right? I mean, that's pretty much driving fast the whole time.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the freeways are pretty open on the weekend,
Sundays,
so you can drive a little faster. But
we
were coming and going. We were coming and going, and we were kind of measuring, like, okay, is this what it's all about? How full is our life, really? We were always with Steve and Jane, you know? That's how we recognize. We're with Steve and Jane, you know? And so finally, we didn't, no offense, we wanted to be more than that, right?
Yeah.
So we, I love you guys. But we wanted us, you know, we wanted to have a little bit more than that.
You wanted your own experience. Yeah, and your own relationships, yeah, outside of Steve and Jane, which is fantastic. So what led you really to start serving at Trinity?
Well, we have two little kids, and Sam and Charles had, you know, said, hey, y'all can serve here. And we were like, sure. We just said yes. Honestly, I really wanted to be with the youth because that's where I was comfortable. And then we walked in one morning, and we put the focus on God, and our hearts and our attitude changed to the little ones, so.
Well, explain that day that you walked in. How did you, did you have to prepare before you got there?
No.
What did you have to do?
Walk in, honestly.
We drank coffee first, and then we showed up, but.
Seriously, there's not a lot to it. You just walk in with a smile on your face. Sam and Charles do a great job with the curriculum. They give you, like, details and times to do what, and you follow it. And so if you can read and smile, I feel like you can do this.
Did y'all pick up how subtle that was? If you can read and smile, you can do this. Yeah.
Just being
honest.
Yeah,
you can do this. And y'all serve, now let me get this straight, y'all serve one service, one Sunday a month, right?
Yeah.
So you're not just trapped back there for the rest of your life, right? Yeah, so, but what you guys found is there was a huge benefit to it. What's been the benefit? What have you grown? What have you guys seen as a result of serving back there?
We decided to do it together, you know, husband and wife. It's something we feel we should be doing together anyway, just finding an area of service, but with the kids especially, and it's really special. You know, we show up, one of us could be tired, one of us could be goofy that day, we do it together, and that's really special. The benefit is, man, it's the kids. Like, you get to, there's several 3-year-olds that I'm best buds with now, but they start to reveal who they are and start to show you little things about themselves that is just really cool.
And they tell on their parents sometimes too, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like mom and dad had a big fight right before we got here, right? Yeah.
But also great, you get to understand that, okay, my kids are crazy, but that's okay, you know, because other kids are crazy too, and that's fine. So we know how you parents are doing, because we're there too, you know. So, but the benefit is huge. I mean, I get to see different parts of her that are only opened up in this environment, you know. So I recommend it.
Macy, this one, when I ask you that question, you teared up, almost started crying.
Up again.
Tell us what benefit it's been to you to serve.
Just seeing the hearts of all of your children, and just when you ask them what they want to pray for, they are genuine. They're not just like, hey, you know, just for a good day. Like, they want to pray for the cancer and their mom, and just, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
To see their hearts. Darn yeah. it.
Yeah. You did good.
The lights, I swear.
That's pretty good for somebody who didn't really want to be there. It didn't want to be with the youth, right?
Yeah, it is.
Does it take any special, besides being able to read, talent to be able to work with the kids?
No, that's the funny thing. We were both talking about it. There's really nothing extra. There's no, like, magical treat on us. We're a little bit more patient than some, and we enjoy being around kids. We can afford to be goofy and have fun, and that's really all it is. Nothing magical about it other than it's a commitment that we enjoy making.
What, Macy, would you have missed in your life had you decided not to serve?
Oh, man. I wouldn't have met James, first of all. So I would have missed out on him. So, but I don't know, everything. Honestly, I would have not made friends with a lot of the moms that I know. And the kids, we all have deep relationships with each other, and it's just fun and exciting to actually be plugged in somewhere.
Yeah. So. Fantastic. Fantastic. Why don't you give them a big hand? James and Macy Hollis. Great, baby. Macy, I'm proud of you, honey. You did great. You did fantastic. So you can see this does not take a degree in child psychology to really be involved with the children's church. And if you remember, you know, I said, look, there's seven areas where we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks. Our first impressions team, this is our ushers, our greeters, our parking lot helpers, our children's church, our kids, our worship area. I mean, we desperately need some more on our worship team, and so won't you be thinking about that? Our media team, I mean, we got $1 million worth of media stuff here. And it's like having a Ferrari and pushing it around the block. I mean, we need some people who can run this thing and help us with this. We have, you know, our Vibe, that's our teenagers, our junior high and high school group, our small groups ministry, which is going to be expanding exponentially this year, and our outreach teams. And so all those are areas where you can serve. I want you to remember, she said, one service on one Sunday once a month. That means you can come and do one service, and the next time the service, you can go to church. You don't have to miss anything. You don't have to come another night, another time. I mean, they're going to give you all the training, all the resources, everything that you need to be involved. And it's life-changing. I remember Joy Lindsay telling me one time she had been back to minister to the children, and the curriculum that day was on friends. And she said, how many of you have friends? And one little boy raised his hand and shouted out loud, I know a song about friends. And she was thinking, you know, the song, you know, friends are friends forever when the Lord's the Lord of them. And she was so excited. She said, well, can you sing us your song? He said, I'd be glad to. And he stood up, and at the top of his lungs, he said, I got friends in low places where the whiskey flows. So you have a chance to learn a lot of stuff back there. A lot of stuff. And so here's the action point today, all right? The action point today is this, is behind me there's going to come up a slide, and that slide is going to give you the opportunity to get your name in the hat to serve. And so it's not, by you answering this, is not obligating you to do anything. We just will be on notice that you want to serve somewhere in the church. And so you also get an opportunity when you text the word serve to that number, 214-253-8970. So pull out your phone. I have mine. I tried it already. And pull out your phone and go to text and hit new. And then text to the number, right? Not the top number, the number in the blue square, 214-2. Oh, they're the same. Thank you, brother. You serve me, brother. You serve me. Yeah, you can't blow this one, okay? And text the word serve. That'll bring you back a link. You click on that link, and you can put your name and your contact information, and you can check whatever box you would like to know, have more information about, and we'll give you more information. These people standing at the front serve in all of the seven areas of the church. And so if you didn't bring your smartphone and you want to register today, they will register you and they'll answer any of the questions that you might have about any of the areas. So here's a big W on yours. And so that's worship. So if anybody's interested in the worship team, come right up here, talk, and you can find out about it. M, that's media. Yes. And so, way to go, Cheryl. And so there's plenty of opportunities for everybody to serve if you want to. Say, well, look, I'm just not ready today. That's okay. We'll talk about it again next week. Let's all stand our feet. Man, I'm glad you came today. And, today's going to be an awesome day. We are about to go outside here in just a few minutes, and we're going to baptize over 30 people. Yeah. And contrary to what Pastor Matthew told you, it's not a hot tub. We have a baptistry out there that we brought in to this week, especially for you. The water is warm, and it's going to be awesome. And so last week I preached on baptism, water baptism. And what I said was, in part, is that water baptism is the sacrament that initiates you to the body of Christ. It makes you an active member of the body of Christ. It initiates and activates your gifts and your calling and your connectivity with the body of Christ. Many of us were baptized as infants or as small children before we came to faith, and we've just crossed off the list the need to be water baptized. I don't believe that's right. I believe you should be baptized after you come to faith in Christ. After you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, you should be baptized immediately. And so if you have not been baptized, now is the time to do it. Say, well, I'm not prepared today. That's okay. We're going to do it this week. Next week, and the week after, we have almost 70 people to baptize. And so it's pretty powerful. So if you haven't been baptized since you believe, now's the time to let somebody know. All right? Is that okay? So we want as many of you as possible, or many of you as want to join us at the baptistry here in about 10 minutes. We're going to baptize. All right? All right. We want you to find your element. Serving is the way to get the favor of God on your life. Would you bow your heads? Lord, thank you for everyone that's in this room. I thank you, Lord, of what a privilege it is to serve you and to serve one another. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to energize us. Lord, to put your presence and your power upon our lives. Lord, as we serve, let the favor of God be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five. Tell them you love them. Good to see them. And meet me at the baptistry.